Come to order. And the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson? Atkinson? Bates? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Edwards? Farioli? Farioli? George? George? Gerard? Gerard? Haas? Haas? Johnson? Johnson? Cruz? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Morse? Nelson? Nelson? Olson? Olson? Prozansky? Prozansky? Rosenbaum? Shields? Shields? Starr? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Telfer? Thompson? Thompson? Verger? Verger? Whitsitt? Whitsitt? Winters? Winters? President Courtney?
Usual, you never pick someone who's here. Come on. A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Chuck Thompson is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Today's invocation will be Senator Jackie Winters, please.
For our invocation today, let us observe a moment of silence to reflect on these words from the book of Matthew, "Love thy neighbor as thyself."
Special presentation as part of the invocation, Senator Jackie Winters.
Stay, stay, stay.
No, no, it's too long to say. You may sit. Black history throughout Oregon. This is Black History Month. Often during this month, we focus on national figures like Frederick Douglass, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or Rosa Parks. And when we think of Oregon's Black history, we might remember that our original state constitution excluded Black Americans from living in Oregon. Or, for our most recent history, we might only think of the metropolitan area. But the story of Black Americans in Oregon stretches back to our earliest days. From those stories, we can learn lessons about freedom and the value of citizenship. From those stories, we can understand the power of perseverance and the importance of honoring our history. Let me share a few of those stories with you today. We all remember that an African-American slave helped discover the first trail to Oregon. The Corps of Discovery, led by Lewis and Clark from 1804 to 1806, included Clark's black slave. His name was York. York was a skilled hunter and scout, and he is known for his bravery in saving Lewis from a grizzly bear. When the Corps of Discovery reached the Pacific Ocean, York boated with the rest of the group on where they would camp for the winter. As an enduring reminder of his contribution to our state's history, York is shown in the mural of the Corps of Discovery in our Capitol Rotunda. In our earliest days, before we were even a state, a black state slave named York, he helped shape our history. And later on, Oregon learned a lesson from another black slave about freedom and the value of citizenship. Lewis Southworth was a slave born in Tennessee on the 4th of July in 1830. In 1851, at the age of 21, he traveled with his mother and his master to Corvallis, Oregon. Lewis was an accomplished gold miner and even more accomplished fiddle player. And with the money he earned from both talents, he purchased his freedom for $1,000 in 1859, the same year Oregon became a state. At this time, Oregon's constitution excluded blacks, and very few lived in the state. The 1850 census reported fewer than 60 black residents in the entire Pacific Northwest. By the 1860 census, and out of a total of 52,000 people, only 124 black and mulatto residents lived in the Northwest. By 1890, the entire black population of Coos County totaled 36. It was during this time that Lewis Southworth carved out a life in Oregon. After paying his master to free him, Lewis went on to work as a blacksmith near Albany. Later in 1879, Lewis started homesteading on the Alsea River near Walport, where he operated a ferry and grew hay. As other homesteaders moved in, Lewis donated land for a schoolhouse and served on the local school board. On election day in 1880, a storm churned up white caps on Alsea Bay, which stood between Lewis and his polling place. Lewis tied two oil drums to his boat and extra floats and rowed across the bay to vote. He was the only man to cross the bay to vote that day, a man required to buy his freedom knows the true value of citizenship. We should all be such devoted participants in our community and our democracy. That is the lesson Lewis Southworth taught to Oregon. Finally, Oregon's Black history teaches us about perseverance and the importance of honoring our history. Carrie Halsell was born in Colorado in 1903. In 1912, her family moved to Salem, and by 1921, her father became a shopkeeper on State Street. Carrie attended Salem High School and earned a place on the honor roll. In 1922, Carrie enrolled at the Oregon Agricultural College, now Oregon State University. She studied business, accounting, history, geology, education, literature, and both French and Spanish. In 1926, Carrie became the first Black woman to graduate from Oregon State University. And while female students from 1922 to 1926 were expected to live on campus, Carrie did not. School officials indicated that she would only be allowed to live on campus if there was another Black student for her to share a room with. With the same perseverance that defined her early years, Carrie went on to have a successful career in teaching and higher education. She earned an MBA from New York University and spent most of her 30-year professional career teaching at colleges and universities. In 2002, 80 years after Carrie first started school at Oregon State University, an on-campus resident hall was named in her honor. The Halsell Hall today stands as a reminder that with perseverance, anything is possible. It also reminds us of the importance of remembering and honoring our history so that young people following behind us can learn the lessons of the past. Thank you for letting me share these stories about Black history in Oregon. From our very beginning, Black Americans have been a part of our history. From their stories, we have learned lessons about freedom and the value of citizenship. We have learned about the power of perseverance and the importance of honoring our history. I hope we all carry these lessons with us. And as I have shared these stories with you, I hope you will share them with others.
Thank you, Senator Chuck Thompson, for leading us in the pledge, and thank you, Senator Warnes, for your invocation and your good words about the history of Black Americans and their great contribution to the Northwest and to, of course, the great state of Oregon, my Oregon. We're now to the courtesies of the Senate. I'm going to recognize Senator Larry George, please.
Mr. President, it's becoming a tradition on the even sessioned years. I would ask the Senate to extend courtesies to my family. Sitting at my desk is my wife, Jessica, and our new baby, Charlotte. Sitting at Senator Farioli's desk is my daughter, Abigail, with her grandfather, Oregon State Senator Rod Johnson. And sitting at Senator Nelson's desk is Abigail and Charlotte's grandfather, Oregon State Senator Gary George. I'd ask courtesies be extended. And I want to note that all three of us, all three of the senators, served with you in the legislature, and we really appreciate you extending courtesies to them.
Yes, I do want to definitely extend courtesies to you. And I had the opportunity to meet with them and take pictures with the family just before the session. And yes, I have served with Senator Rod Johnson and Senator Gary George. And Jessica, it's great to see you as well. We always like to see you come to our sessions. Of course, Abigail and Charlotte. We like it when children come on the floor because it brightens our day and it makes us feel younger. At least it makes me feel younger, and I need that. So, and I spoke very affectionately about you, Senator Gary George, last week, whether you know or not. I don't know if those words were passed on to you about the seismic area. Of course, he's not listening, which is not unusual because it was often the case when I spoke. But anyway, I you make me smile, and Larry, I hope you do this over and over again, because it's a nice tradition, and it's really a nice thing that you do. And I'd like to extend the official's courtesies to you all, and hope you stay as long as you want. Come back over and over again. Thank you very much. I'll now recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I would like you to join me in extending courtesies of the Senate to Robert Unger, who's seated at my desk today. If you come into the Senate Majority Office at all during this legislative session, you've seen Robert's cheerful, friendly face there. He's been volunteering in our office for the entire month of February, and for that, we're really, really grateful. He's been an extremely important part of our staff, and every day shows up and is dedicated and enthusiastic, just wanting to learn everything about the legislative process. He also brought to us a background in marketing and detailed knowledge of the internet and web design. In his free time, he enjoys backpacking, playing the guitar and the piano, oil painting, and being walked by his dog, whose name is Buddy. And Robert is a duck, definitely a duck. He has a bachelor's degree in political science. And like the George family that we were just hearing about, Robert is from a very political family. His father is Deschutes County Commissioner Alan Unger, and his mom is Bev. And he's also the nephew of our colleague, the late Brian Johnston. So we really, really have enjoyed having Robert here every day. I want to thank him personally and also extend courtesies of the entire body. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, Robert, I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. Thanks for all the work you're doing in Senator Rosenbaum's office. It really has helped, meant a lot to us. We only are able to do our work because of our staff. We're only good as our staff, and you're really good. So thanks for being here. Well, don't stay after the session's over, because right now I don't know how long that's going to be, but at least stay with us till we end this. So I appreciate it, Robert, all your work that you're doing. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like courtesies of the Senate extended to the Gold Beach Panthers state championship football team. I had the honor last week of recognizing Camas Valley. I would say that this year they're in the back gallery. I would say this year I had the honor of having two state championship football teams in my Senate district, which I'm incredibly proud of. In Southern Oregon and on the coast, we know how to play football. The Gold Beach team had an undefeated season, and they are 2A, and it should be noted that five of those games were against 3A schools, so they played above their designation on several occasions. They have an outstanding coaching staff, and Coach Swift has made a point of making these gentlemen understand the concept of team, and it's all about team, which is what good football programs do know how to do. It should also be noted, Ms. President, that Kip Marshall and Anthony Kelly have been selected to the Shrine team. Also, Quinn Johnston was the state defensive player of the year. It should also be noted that Quinn just recently won his fourth state championship wrestling title, matched almost by his brother Kyle, who won his third. The reason Kyle only won three was that their freshman year they were in the same weight class, so he finished second to his brother. And Kip Marshall was the state offensive player of the year. Coach Swift was named coach of the year for 2A. And it should also be noted that one of the assistant coaches is the sheriff from Curry County, John Bishop, who was named Oregon Sheriff of the Year. So this community is an amazing community. And it should also be noted, Mr. President, I just found out this morning that for them to come up here today, they were looking for the funds to be able to afford the trip and the overnight stay, and the community pitched in and fully funded their trip. This community is solidly behind this team, as am I, and I would like courtesies of the Senate extended to this fine championship football team.
Yes, it's my honor to the Gold Beach Panthers in the back to welcome you and extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Yes, Senator Cruz, there are champions in your Senate district. Really outstanding. And I am always taken in the smaller schools that often the teams, their boys and girls athletic teams, many of their athletes play in multiple sports, and I like that. I think that that's good and it's healthy. It's not so much the case when you get into the 6A schools, and I won't get into my theories on this philosophy, so it was really good to hear about the wrestling champion, and I'm sure if we went into the other athletic teams at Gold Beach, men and women, boys and girls, you'll see this. But yes, I'm aware that Gold Beach won that championship, very good. Congratulations to you. And again, small communities do what Senator Cruz said. They will just turn out. You ought to be there when they play football. The whole town turns out, or basketball, the whole town turns out. Special place to live in small communities the night of a game. And it's a special feeling. And so I'm not surprised at all that they also found a way to bring you here. Stay the whole day. It's your state capital. This capital belongs to you. And so it's an honor and privilege to have you here. And I'd like to extend the courtesy to the Senate to each and every one of you. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request courtesies of the Senate be extended to my guest today, which is a third-generation family of auto dealerships. The Thomas brothers are here. Seated with me is Matt Thomas from Bend. And on the side aisle is Bill Thomas, also from Bend, and Mark Thomas and his wife Kathleen from Albany.
Well, good. To the Thomas dealers, I don't know what cars you're selling. I should, so that was left out. So you must be very successful. I'm sure you sell more than one car, because nowadays that's what dealerships do. So good luck. I'm glad you're selling cars as well as you have. You've been doing it all these generations, and you're a special kind of person who knows how to sell cars. I know, because my wife refuses to go with me when I buy a new car. She leaves that up to me. And so it's always nice to have dealerships that are very successful, filled with nice people. So I'm glad you're here. Have a good day. Again, your state capital. And somewhere along the line, I'd like to know what cars you sell. I'm just curious about that. Recognize Senator Joanne Verger, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that you extend courtesies of the Senate to Coos Bay Mayor Crystal Shoji and her husband, Gene, who are visiting the Capitol today. Mayor Shoji is the second woman to ever serve as the mayor of that coastal city. She comes with wonderful credentials, and we are so proud to have her in the leadership in Coos Bay. So please extend courtesies to them. They are on the balcony here.
Oh, yes, I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. If you're the second, we all know who the first was. She's the one I just introduced you. And that would be Senator Joanne Verger, the former mayor of Coos Bay. So thank you. It's a great honor and privilege to have you here. As I've said, I always like it when people come from the smaller areas far away. We have Gold Beach. We have Coos Bay here today. So that part of the state is being well represented. And so stay as long as you like. It's an honor and privilege. And I'd like to extend the official courtesy of the Senate to you. Recognize Senator Chuck Thompson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ask that you please extend courtesies to my niece, Courtney, from Hood River. She's on her way down to Corvallis today, school. Stop by and spend the day with me. Courtney's studying communications there, and I just found out today, I haven't had a chance to be able to talk her out of this, but she's transferring to University of Oregon next year. And I would like, maybe you could give her some hints on that, whether that's a good decision or not. Please extend courtesies to my niece, Courtney. Thank you.
Courtney, let me just say, you got a great first name, and a great name. You're going to be a winner, I'm sure, because you got my last name, first name. I always said, Senator's tired of hearing, if I ever had a daughter, I had all sons, I was going to call her, I swear, Courtney, which I don't think would have gone over very well. So I love your first name. I don't know what to do about your transferring because I can't win on that. I don't know. I don't know why Senator Thompson set me up like that. I didn't go to either school. I root for both schools. Why don't you think about Western Oregon University because I worked there, the Wolves, something like that. Maybe that's the way to negotiate that. But anyway, it's an honor and a privilege to have you here. Senator Thompson's a great human being, a great uncle, and we hope you have a good day. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Good luck. Recognize Senator Ted Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like to ask for courtesies of the Senate to be extended yet again to a person whom you've already recognized this morning. But there are some people who serve with such distinction and such humility that sometimes it really deserves a second mention. And I'll make the point here. Senator Gary George, I believe, left the legislature in 2009. And we had planned to honor Senator George when he was going to be at the Senate in the December period just before or at the end of our cycle. And Senator George had other business that he was not able to attend that meeting. We wanted to present Senator George with a token of our esteem and appreciation for his service. We bought him a watch. It is here. And I would like, with your permission, to present this watch to Senator George in recognition of his fine service to the state of Oregon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Please do so. Well, now he's over there. He's moved over there. So Senator Ed Verrilli is going to submit a watch, if he ever gets there, to Senator Gary George. And I'm sure, appreciate that very much. So, okay, are there any more courtesies? We're in a remonstrances. Recognize Senator, no, we're not. Messages, recognize Senator Lori Montesanison on remonstrances, please.
Colleagues, next month is Women's History Month, but as we celebrate the centennial of women's right to vote here in Oregon, the very rights we fought so hard for over the years are under assault from coast to coast. In the past week, the outlook for the rights of women in other states has been quite scary. As the national debate turned to whether employers should provide birth control as a matter of employer-covered insurance, anti-woman legislation began to advance in the legislatures. Colleagues, I am deeply troubled that in some states we are seeing their status, our status, transported back to the 1950s, if not the 1850s. Just a couple of weeks ago, Congress held a debate over whether women should be able to receive birth control coverage through their insurance company. Of all the witnesses at that congressional hearing, there was not one woman on the so-called expert panel. How does that happen in 2012? In Virginia, the state legislature recently considered two proposals that would seriously roll back the clock on women's health care, including one bill forcing a woman to have an invasive ultrasound before carrying on with her decision on the pregnancy. How does that happen in 2012? Colleagues, as a nurse, I can tell you that neither of these bills have anything to do with advancing the interest of health care. So today, I'm asking each and every one of us who support these fundamental rights to declare that we will speak out against every attempt to send women hurtling back to a time where women were deprived of control over the most basic decisions. I'm proud that Oregon has consistently been a leader in women's health issues with a strong coalition of the Oregon Women's Health and Wellness Alliance. And I'm glad that we have resisted attempts to substitute the government's wisdom for a woman's own conscience. But on the eve of Women's History Month, I can't help but feel that our rights are under siege once again. Let's make sure that Oregon is at the forefront of defending these vital protections that have improved the lives of generations of women. Thank you.
Can I Senator Alan Olson, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, transparent, easily understood or detected, obvious. I thought I would quote the definition to make it clear that in this building we talk a good talk, but we don't walk the walk. We tell our constituents that government should be transparent in its operations. We go as far as sponsoring bills. In other words, we put our names on them so that if the bill makes it through the gauntlet, we can go to the people and stand tall for our accomplishment. What about the process prior to the bill becoming law? Many times the bill is summarily amended with no idea who has made the amendment nor what is the purpose of the change. I do not believe that this is a transparent working of government, and we have the ability to make that change. With Senate Bill 1572, a bill whose support is both bipartisan and bicameral, we can change all that and restore transparency to the legislative process. Thank you, Mr. President.
Are there further remonstrances? Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the co-speakers to inform you the House has passed House Bill 4093, adopted Senate concurrent resolution 205 and 208. Mr. President, I'm directed by the co-speakers to inform you they have signed House Bill 4011, 4013, 4015, 4035, 4039, 4043, 4046, 4047, 4050, 4092, 4128, 4146, House concurrent resolution 203, Senate Bill 1505, 1524, 1525, 1529, Senate concurrent resolution 201, 203, and 204.
Reports from committees. We're now on a propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Alan Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. So she'd like I move that Senate Bill 1572 be withdrawn from the Senate Rules Committee.
Senator Alan Olson has moved that the Senate Bill 1572 be withdrawn from the Senate Rules Committee. To your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is a very simple bill. It's 10 lines. Basically, it asks or recommends that if you write an amendment to a bill, you put your name on it. I would say if you're proud enough to write that amendment, you should be proud enough to stand for it. As I said in my remonstrance, it's both bicameral and bipartisan. Folks from both sides of the aisle have supported this bill. I think it's time that we opened up our government to more transparency. And I would say that there are times probably when you sit in committee and ask, where did this amendment come from? By putting your name on it, we would solve that problem. Thank you, Mr. President.
The discussion on the motion which is now before us. Senator Olson, do you wish to close?
No.
Those are the opinion that Senate Bill 1572 should be withdrawn from the Senate Rules Committee will answer aye as your name is called. And those opposed, no. Would the clerk please call the roll?
George? Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, President Courtney.
No.
Excuse Dingfelder, voting no. Bates, Beyer, Burdick, Devlin, Edwards, Haas, Johnson, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Steiner Hayward, Berger, President Courtney. 14 aye votes.
The motion has failed. Senator Chuck Thompson, for what purpose do you rise?
Voter explanation, please.
Please file your vote explanation.
Yeah, colleagues, I voted yes on this. As a new legislator, it's sometimes confusing what your issues are or if a bill changes. And I think this would just give an easy fix and help us gather more information if we knew where the amendment came from. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferriero, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under propositions in motion, I move that we reorder our calendar and move Senate Bill 1587 to the top of the calendar, Mr. President.
I ask that Senate Bill 1587 be moved to the top of our calendar. Would you please speak to your motion?
Yes, Mr. President. One of our members who is the carrier of the bill has a pressing engagement, and they are available currently to carry the bill, so we're asking that that bill be heard first.
Is there anyone wish to discuss the motion before us? Senator Ferrioli, do you have any closing remarks? In favor of moving Senate Bill 1587 to the top of our today's calendar, would you please say aye?
Aye.
And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. We'll now move to action on executive appointments requiring the Senate confirmation. Introduction in the first reading of the Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures. We're now under the third reading of the Senate measures, and I would ask the clerk to please read the bill.
Senate Bill 1587, relating to property appraisal and declaring emergency.
Now I will now recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 1587 requires the Appraiser Certification License Board to report to the Legislative Assembly on or before May 1, 2013 regarding three issues: the board's procedure for dispute resolutions, the board's procedure relating to conflicts of interest among board members, the current process by which persons become an appraiser. The bill defines dispute to mean a case or complaint filed handled by the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board that was filed by the board, an appraiser, or by a property owner against an appraiser. Under current law, the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board is a semi-independent agency. Its budget is not subject to executive branch review or approval or modification by the Legislative Assembly. Passage of this bill is expected to have minimal fiscal impact to the board. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommend approval of Senate Bill 1587 as amended.
Discussion of the measure, which is now before us. Senator Winters, do you wish to close?
No, Mr. President.
Question arises upon a third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 1587. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Sherrod? Pass? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Aye. Morris? Aye. Nelson? Aye. Olson? Aye. Tom? Prozanski? Aye. Rosenbaum? Aye. Shields? Aye. Starr? Aye. Steiner Hayward? Aye. Telfer? Aye. Thompson? Aye. Berger? Aye. Whitsitt? Winters? Aye. Atkinson? Aye. Bates? Aye. Beyer? Aye. Boquist? Aye. Burdick? Aye. Devlin? Aye. Dingfelder? Edwards, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney,
yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, 29 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1587, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 1506, relating to mental health drugs and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 1506 represents exactly the kind of thing we should be doing now, which is to say finding ways that we at the central level of the government can support organizations out in the community who are working to optimize health care while reducing costs for some of our most vulnerable Oregonians. In particular, this bill will allow the Central Oregon Health Council, which coordinates the care of Medicaid patients in Deschutes, Jefferson, and Cook counties, to see utilization data for mental health drugs, which is the one piece of the health care puzzle that is still paid for directly by the state because of the carve-outs. What they've arranged to have happen is to have the Oregon Prescription Drug Program provide real-time data transmission to the Central Oregon Health Council, which will ensure that COHC can confirm that their patients are filling their prescriptions, taking them as prescribed, refilling them as prescribed, because we know that this is a particular challenge to people with mental health issues. Ensuring that people with mental health issues receive timely, appropriate care and that their illnesses are being managed appropriately will ensure that they are also able to manage their health medical issues equally well. Furthermore, this will be done in a fashion that will allow the Central Oregon Health Council to bring this information back to us to show how it's being used in the 2013 session and will help us move forward with the prospect of coordinated care organizations. This bill will have minimal impact on the health authority, and it will provide a model for how the health authority can interact with CCOs going forward. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 1506. Thank you.
Is the discussion of the measure that now is before us? Senator Steiner Hayward, do you wish to close? The question arises upon a third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 1506. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass? Johnson? Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morris, Nelson, Olson, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, President Courtney. Excused, Dingfelder, Winters, 28 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1506, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 1547, relating to captive insurance and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Bruce Starr, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm pleased to bring to you Senate Bill 1547. This is a bill that would allow the Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to authorize captive insurers in Oregon and provide for the regulation of captive insurers. Current law does not authorize this type of insurer in Oregon. These insurers primarily insure the risks of businesses that are related through common ownership. The bill has an emergency clause and is effective on passage. The department will require one insurance examiner positioned to oversee the financial condition of captive insurance companies. The position will be filled on July 1, 2012. The cost in the 11-13 biennium is $100,326 other funds. The department will collect fees from the insurance companies to cover the cost of this position. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means and I recommend approval of the Senate Bill 1547 as amended. Colleagues, currently there is a number of states that allow for captive insurance companies, and businesses in our state are doing business in other states rather than doing business in our state. That's why we have this bill in front of us today. This bill will keep Oregon resources in Oregon, create jobs in our state. It's a good bill. Ask for an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion of the measure which is now before us. Senator Starr, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of the Senate Bill 1547. Those the opinion bills will pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson?
Aye.
Cruz?
Aye.
Monis Anderson?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Brzezinski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters? Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, President Courtney, excuse, Dingfelder, Winters, 28 aye votes.
The Senate Bill 1547 has received a constitutional majority declared passed. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 1517, relating to elections and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 1517 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Rules with a unanimous vote with one member excused. And this is an elections bill. It updates current elections law to reflect Oregon's vote-by-mail system, also resolves conflicts in statute relating to how county elections officials handle unused ballots after 8 p.m. on election day, and improve security, transparency, and accountability in our elections process. The bill deletes and amends outdated references to absentee ballots and procedures for requesting and handling those ballots to eliminate statutes that have conflicts, and revises current vote-by-mail statute to incorporate some provisions of older laws. There is a conflict in current statute that creates some challenges for our county elections officials when they administer elections, and they need to be able to print adequate numbers of ballots to ensure that every voter will receive a ballot or be able to get a replacement ballot up to the deadline of 8 o'clock on elections day. So the bill will resolve this conflict and improve integrity, security, and accountability of our elections process by requiring the county clerks to file as part of the county election security plan with the Secretary of State the number and location of all video surveillance cameras where ballots are being tallied. We'll also require that any ballot used for duplication purposes at any time during an election will be marked and differentiated from the live voted ballots. Will also require that unused ballots be either sealed, secured, and an accounting maintained, or be visibly marked and differentiated from those live voted ballots. And finally, will require an accounting of all ballots for each election be reported to the Secretary of State at the time of the election certification. The bill is an important step to ensure the integrity of elections in Oregon, to ensure that the security of our ballots and that those ballots are handled in a prudent and judicious manner. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 1517. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion of the measure which is now before us. Senator Ferrioli, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, folks that are skeptical about ballot security will find nothing in this bill to allay their skepticality, nor do I wish them to. The fact of the matter is that the folks that have exhibited extreme skepticality about ballot security should be skeptical, and I want them to stay skeptical because this bill is a result of some of their skepticality. Mr. President, this bill does an awful lot, but mostly what it does is it really improves the certification requirements, and it really improves the record of each election. It requires the elections officials to enumerate the number of ballots printed, the number of ballots mailed to voters, the number of ballots issued to voters out of the county clerk's offices, the number of ballots returned as undeliverable, the number of rejected ballot envelopes, the number of ballots tallied, the number of ballots used for duplication, and the fact that those duplicated ballots have to be so marked, the number of test ballots, and the number of archived ballots. And to report all of those categories so we can determine where the exact status of each ballot is. Not only that, Mr. President, this bill requires that those unvoted ballots be marked, defaced, or otherwise made clearly identifiable so that they can be separated from other ballots. Mr. President, the rule to have all these ballots destroyed after at 8 o'clock after an election is impractical. It's been something that the county clerks have been trying to get dealt with for a number of years, but in point of fact, at the end of the day, we couldn't determine whether or not destroying those ballots might also include some voted ballots, Mr. President, if you were a skeptic about ballot security. Nothing makes people more uneasy, or should, than bags and bags of shredded ballots at the end of an election that can't be accounted for. You don't know whether they're voted or not voted or how they were handled. This bill requires those ballots to be enumerated and handled in a different way. Mr. President, the bill isn't perfect. It doesn't do one of the things that I think we could do to improve ballot security, and that's that we should require those that offer to collect ballots to deliver them within hours of their collection, not warehouse them. It's not in the bill. We'll never have ballot security, in my opinion, until we make getting the right to vote in Oregon at least as complicated and difficult as getting a driver's license. You know, those standards should be the same. The driver's license requirements are far more rigorous in order to get a ballot in Oregon and to demonstrate that you are legally voting. You check the box. You know, that is not ballot security. The bill doesn't do that, Mr. President. It should someday in the future, perhaps. The bottom line is this. This bill offers no reason for us to let the facts interfere with a good political fight. And there are folks outside this building that want to find a fight, and want to find a reason to fight. This bill isn't the reason to fight. This bill is a step in the right direction. It improves ballot security. And I ask, and I appreciate the honor of helping to co-carry this bill. It doesn't do everything some people would like, doesn't even do everything I would like. But it does improve ballot security, and it does enumerate the status of each ballot that's voted, sent, mailed, returned, received, or invalidated. I think this is a step in the right direction. It's great policy, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now arises upon a third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 1517. Those the opinion bill shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, Winters. Voting no, Atkinson, George, Girard, Cruz, Olson, Telfer, Thompson, Whitsitt. 20 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1517, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation, please.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted no largely based on procedure on this bill. This bill came out of rules Friday afternoon, I believe, on 2 hours' notice posting. It's on the Senate floor this morning being voted on. And my constituents are wondering what happened. They're wondering why it happened. And they're wondering why we cannot have a clear and transparent procedure in adopting laws that influence our election process. Thank you.
Your vote explanation has been filed. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, have received emails from constituents trying to understand what they call gotten stuff, which indeed is what this is. I will say, Mr. President, there are merits in this, but the way this process has worked, there was really no time for real input or real discussion with the public on something as significant as this. And if indeed this was a bill that was intended to come forward during the session, it should have happened early in the session, so there could have been time for input. My no vote on this bill is more for what I consider to be a violation of the process that allows public input rather than the merits of the bill.
Your vote explanation has been filed. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
A vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as I said earlier, there's no reason to let the facts interfere with a good political fight. This bill is a compromise bill. It has been worked on quite a bit between members of the House, bipartisan members of the House, and the Secretary of State. That compromise came to fruition just a few hours before our hearing on Friday, which is the Rules Committee hearing, the appropriate committee for the bill on elections. It was posted with a one-hour notice. We came in Saturday to work on bills, so the bill advanced on the calendar in the normal and ordinary course of business, and it's come to the floor this morning without any unusual or superhuman efforts to move the bill forward. So, Mr. President, let the mythologizing begin. This wasn't done in the dark of the night. It was done in the light of the day, and it is a compromise bill, a bipartisan bill. It is supported by all the county clerks and the Secretary of State. Mr. President, let's not let the facts interfere with a good political fight. Let the mythologizing begin. I was happy to vote yes and carry the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Your vote explanation has been filed. Recognize Senator Fred G. Rod.
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation.
Please file your vote explanation.
Colleagues, I would have to agree with the opposition, and that is, this is a question of policy. And the people that opposed this bill had little or no chance to voice their opposition. I think the bill is a lot more onerous and a lot more, let me just say, there's a lot more to the law than what meets the eye. And I just think that the process was violated, and election law should not be opened up to the discretion of one-hour notices.
Without objection, we'll return to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'd recommend the co-speakers to inform you that the House has passed House Bill 4003, 4023, 4091, and 4173.
Now we return to the regular order of Senate business, and that is the first reading of House measures.
House Bill 4003, relating to State Department of Agriculture Food Safety Fees. House Bill 4023, relating to Guardianships and Juvenile Dependency Proceedings, declare emergency. House Bill 4091, relating to Criminal Records Checks, declare emergency. House Bill 4093, relating to Extension of Enterprise Zones and Prescribing Effective Date. House Bill 4173, relating to Printing of Official Election Ballots and declaring emergency.
We'd have the second reading of House measures. We're now on to the third reading of our House measures. I would ask the clerk to please read the bill.
House Bill 4079, relating to energy incentive programs and prescribing an effective date.
Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Fellow Oregon State Senators, I am happy to bring to you House Bill 4079. It comes to you with a unanimous vote from the Senate Revenue Committee and with a unanimous vote off the House floor. Last year, we passed House Bills 25 and 23 and 3672. These bills replaced the Betsy program with four separate tax credits, a conservation credit, renewable energy, transportation, and manufacturing. These are all very complicated bills, as you remember, and they made numerous technical changes, not just in energy, but tax law as well. And as with many bills that we pass, House Bill 2523 and House Bill 3672, we're not perfect. And in the years since the passage of those laws, many of the technical problems that were in those bills have come to light. This bill fixes those problems. So House Bill 4079 is really a cleanup bill. It clarifies language relating to the renewable energy tax credits, the transportation credits, and the manufacturing credit. It makes it easier for companies to apply for these tax credits by adjusting requirements and relating to reporting and expected job creation. So it is a very necessary technical cleanup bill. I ask for your support.
Discussion, please. Senator Hatch, do you wish to close? Question on the rise, on third reading, the final passage of House Bill 4079. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Monis Anderson? Monroe?
Aye.
Morse?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Prozanski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields? Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt? Winters, Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz? President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Dingfelder, Winters, 27 aye votes.
The House Bill 4079, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Would the clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 4110, relating to investment companies doing business in Iran, declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Third time's a charm. We've seen this bill two times before in the previous sessions. HB 110 comes from your Committee on Finance and Revenue with a do-pass recommendation. It directs the Oregon Investment Council and State Treasurer try to ensure that monies in PERS are not invested in companies with interest in energy sector in Iran. I believe a couple of people are going to make some statements, and I'll save the balance of my time for closing. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're now in a discussion. Well, Senator, there's no couples of people. Well, Senator Boquist, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. President, I would say that this is a permissive divestiture bill. There's some rhetoric going around about a sanctions bill, and I think, you know, when you start looking at fiscal responsibility, you really don't want to have your investments hit with Tomahawk missiles and Sodom busters and bombed and things like that. So it gives the option to the Oregon Investment Council to make a wise decision. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now arises upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 4110. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe?
Aye.
Morse?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Prozanski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters? Atkinson? Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Monis Anderson, President Courtney, excused, Dingfelder, Winters, voting no, George, Shields, 26 aye votes.
House Bill 4110, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Chip Shields, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation?
Please file your vote explanation.
Colleagues, I appreciate that this bill was well-intentioned. Iran certainly has a questionable human rights record, but so do many nations with which we have extensive relations. like Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and even Israel has been criticized by Amnesty International. But the main reason that I voted no is that I think the effect of this bill, no matter how well intended, the effect of this bill will be to continue the steady and growing drumbeat for war in Iran. Despite the best of intentions, I believe this bill will contribute to the drumbeat for war in Iran. A war in Iran, I believe, not to be in the best interests of this country, this state, and particularly not in the best interests of the men and women of our military. That's why I voted no, Mr. President. We should temper the drumbeat for war in Iran. Thank you.
Your vote. Inflation has now been filed. Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Wish to file a vote explanation as well.
Please file a vote explanation, Senator.
Thank you. I, like Senator Shields, have reservations about this bill, primarily because I'm not convinced that economic sanctions work. They worked very well in South Africa because at that point, the white minority actually had a true democracy and were able to vote when they felt the strong economic impact of divestiture to replace their government. Such has not been the case in other countries, and I'm concerned that it won't be the case in Iran. That being said, I've had some extensive conversations with our colleagues in Treasury and with other organizations that support this bill, and I believe that this is a highly focused, targeted bill, and that the intention is to have conversations with the companies involved to really help them change their practices prior to our divesting from them. I voted yes with reservations, but I still think this is good policy. Thank you, Mr. President.
Your vote explanation has now been filed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4141, relating to Workforce Development Legislative Advisory Committee and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Lee Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senators, this is a simple little bill that merely directs the Governor and State Workforce Investment Board to convene an advisory committee to study workforce issues, impediments to job creation, and report the findings to an interim legislative committee by November 15, 2012. The group would sunset on convening of the next legislative session. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, rise in support of this bill. It's actually a concern I came into the legislature with after having conversations prior to my appointment where I learned that there are over 80 organizations in Washington and Multnomah counties alone providing workforce services, job retraining, job placement. We need to have a much clearer understanding of what services are available, how much they're costing us, how much money is going toward direct services, and how we can better streamline things so that Oregonians get back to work, so that employers have the people they need with the skills they need to fill open jobs. I, too, urge your aye vote on 4141. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, here's what confuses me about this bill. We have a state workforce investment board that is supposed to do the things that we're now going to appoint an advisory committee to do. Mr. President, I would suggest that the Workforce Investment Board should be doing this work already. That is their purpose. And the fact that we have to, in statute, create an advisory committee to get them to do the work that they are commissioned to do, I find offensive. They should be directed to do their work and not have to create something brand new to help them get there. One of the things we like to do in this body is if we have something not working the way it should, we create another group. Whether it's a blue ribbon panel or an advisory work group or a task force or whatever, that's our solution, is to create a new group. I would suggest that if the State Workforce Investment Board is not doing their job, that the governor ought to be looking to put new people on that board so the job can get done rather than creating another work group.
Recognize Senator Alan Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Kind of interesting when you read my little blue sheet here. It says that the committee is here to just develop issues and impediments to job creation. I stand before you and say that they might be investigating us because I feel we are an impediment to job creation.
Further discussion of the measure which is now before us? Senator Byer, do you wish to close? Question on rise upon a third reading, the final passage of House Bill 4141. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Olson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Montes Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney. Excuse, Dingfelder, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Gerard, Cruz, Olson, Whitsitt, 23 aye votes.
The House Bill 4141, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Concurrent Resolution 206 in memoriam Officer Buddy Ray Herron, 1969-2011.
Recognize Senator Dave Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This concurrent resolution is a memorandum for a prison guard out in my district, and he was working at the prison in Pendleton. Buddy Ray Herron, he was born in 1969 and was shot by a man who he had stopped to give assistance to. And he was on his way to work. He was working the midnight shift or the late shift or whatever it was. It was like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and he got out to help this guy, and the guy pulls a gun out and shoots him. So that fellow is now under arrest, and he's been incarcerated and is going through the legal process. But Buddy's prison guards and friends in the Helix and Pendleton area asked that we present this memorial. And I don't think there's any members of the family here, but it's been a very difficult time for them. And in some small way, potentially we could help them work their way through this. So I would appreciate a yes vote on this. Thank you.
Further discussion of the measure that's for us, recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Mr. President, we've carried several memorials for fallen officers this legislative session, and you know, I've been thinking about all the memorials that we've done for those who have given their lives in the line of duty. And the good senator from Eastern Oregon made a comment about the families. I'd just like to point something out. We join many families in our lifetimes. We're born into a family. We join our kids' sports team families. We go to a university or a high school. There's just a lot of different families. I joined a family, but I didn't realize it until later, and that was the day my son took his oath of office as a sworn officer in the state of Oregon. I joined the law enforcement family, and I've just been very much affected by the memorials that we've seen brought to this chamber. And I just want to say that by extension, every one of us knows someone or is related to someone who serves in the line of duty or with the armed forces or in some way that puts their lives in jeopardy, and they are our families. So I would say to the good senator, as he points out, the family is here. We are their family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion of the measure? Senator Nelson, you wish to close? The question now arises upon a third reading, the final passage of HCR 206. Those opinion bills should pass out. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Olson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Dingfelder, Winters, 28 aye votes.
HCR 206, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. And yes, Senator Nelson, I hope you will convey the sympathies and the respect that we have to the family and friends of Officer Buddy Ray Herron, and let them know that through the passage of the HCR 206, we have just paid the highest tribute that the Senate has to our fellow Oregonian, and we have them in our thoughts and our prayers. So thank you very much. Would the clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 4006, relating to wildlife and declaring an emergency.
Now I recognize Senator Alan Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I carried this bill from the Committee on Rules, which I do not sit on, but we saw the same bill in Energy and Natural Resources. It passed through rules on a 4-0 vote. What this bill does, House Bill 4006A, it requires the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to consult with affected cities, counties, private landowners, and local service districts prior to making determination that a species is threatened or endangered. It also requires that same commission to provide the affected cities, counties, private landowners, and local service districts to mitigate adverse impacts because of this designation. I urge an aye vote.
Discussion of the measure that's now before us. Senator Olson, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 4006. Those opinion bills passed, say aye, please. Those opposed, no. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Olson?
Aye.
Brzezinski? Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters? Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick? Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse Dingfelder, Winters, 28 aye votes.
The House Bill 40006 have received a constitutional majority declared passed. Messages from the House, please.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the Speaker to inform you that the House has passed House Bill 4002, 4026, 4059, 4082, and 4163.
Without objection, the Senate will revert to the first reading of House measures. It is so ordered.
House Bill 4002, relating to forestry education. House Bill 4026, relating to court appeals. House Bill 4059, relating to higher education, prescribing effective date. House Bill 4082, relating to court appointed special advocates, burden money, declaring emergency. House Bill 4163, relating to judicial security personnel, declaring emergency.
These will be transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403 committee referral list number 26, was distributed to members February 25th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal of State's report and so ordered. Announcements recognize Senator Richard Devlin first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, earlier in this session, I notified my full members that we should stand by for a full at 3 o'clock. Then I received word that the full had been moved to 4:30. Now at the request of the House, so I don't have to go through the members here again, it's been moved back to 3 o'clock. So all members of full, we will have a meeting at 3 p.m. this afternoon.
Oh, that's nice. I recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you. Senate Democrats, we will caucus in 10 minutes at 12:25, so please get your lunch and come to the caucus room.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans will caucus at 12:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Again, I want to thank the members of the Senate who volunteered to come here on Saturday morning so we could advance the calendar. We were able to vote on some measures this morning that allow that your actions help this bring about. I know I inconvenienced you on a Saturday and this weekend, but I appreciate the willingness to be here to try to advance the calendar as we attempt to sine-die this first annual session of Oregon. If there are no further announcements and without objection, this Senate is adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, which is Tuesday, February 28th. This Senate is now adjourned.